Okay. This is our last chapter on the topic of Bo Machteres. Mir Hashem, tomorrow night we'll get out Makoros on the Sugya of Kimle, which again is still part of the larger topic of Bo Machteres, but we're focusing, in the next Sugya more on Kimle, while Bo Machteres is really just the setting. Okay. So we're really in the middle of a topic. Basically, we developed based on a number of Rishonim and Mefarshim, namely Rashi, the Yad Ramah, Magen Avraham, and the Mishnah Berurah, that the way they formulate the psak of Ein Mefachem as Agal for an Ein Lo Damim, right? A Bav Machteres is Chayiv Misa. The way they formulate that if such a person is Chayiv Misa is stuck under the rubble, the way they imply, right? They imply that you never a mefachem lo basagal, seemingly even in circumstances where there's no longer a threat. Even when there's no longer a threat to the pikuach nefesh of the balabayas. So the question we were trying to answer is why is that the case, right? Especially according to the normative shitos in the sigya, that the basis of the chiyad misa for the Bav Machteres is the threat, is the pikuach nefesh of the balabayas. So then why would these Rishonim and Mefarshim imply that the Pesach of Ein Mefachem Alav Esagal, which basically means that the Chiyav Misa seemingly endures, even past the time that this Bav Machteres presumably no longer poses a threat? So again, just a quick summary of what we did last time. So the first Mahalach was to say that really a technical answer, right? The technical answer to say that really the basis of these Mefarshim is that perhaps we suspect that even while the Bav Machteres is under the rubble, that there is still a threat to the life of the Balabayas. Namely, that if we would uncover the Bav Machteres from underneath the rubble, there's a chance that that we still suspect that he's going to pose a threat to the life of the Balabayas. That was the one approach based on the second day of the Meiri. Again, that's a technical answer, and we pointed out it doesn't seem to be much shmos of these Rishonim. The second category of answers was to focus on the Gavra Ketila status, which Rashi focuses on, but specifically the Gavra Ketila status b'shas chasira, at the beginning, right? Because he had a status of the Gavra Ketila at the beginning, right when he started digging in, so that somehow justified the psak of Eim Efachim Lamasagal, even though, according to these approaches, the Gavra Ketila status seemingly fell away. Again, there are two different versions of this. One is the Or Gadol, this idea that the focus of the Gavra Ketila is the fact that he placed himself in a Gavra Ketila situation. Basically, he placed himself in a situation of Sakana, and basically the assumption being that once you place yourself in a situation of Sakana, so then you lose the right for us to be Mechal Shabbos in order to save you. That was the Or Gadol. And the second version of this was the Ebenai Ezel, where he basically said that the original status of Gavra Ketila basically, undermined the psak of basically saving someone who is suffic rodev. Namely, the way that Ebenai Ezel views it is that currently when he's underneath the rubble, it's a case of suffic rodev, suffic bav machteres. Generally, according to Rashi, we would save such a suffic bav machteres. That's only because such a person has a chazak meikara of a cheskas chayim. And therefore, like an ein suffic moti midei vaday type idea that since he's a cheskas, a vaday cheskas chayim meikara, so for misafik, we're not going to uproot the chiyav hatzala which stemmed from that chazak meikara. But in this case, when originally the person's status was not a cheskas chayim, but rather a cheskas gavra ketila, so that creates the opposite psak, that once there's a cheskas gavra ketila and there was no chiyav hatzala, so then, even though later on it's only a suffix that he's a Gavra Ketila, only as a suffix that he's a Bav Machteres, in such a case, according to Ibn Ezel, we're not going to have a Chiyav Hatzala. Adkan was Chazara from last time. So I'd like to suggest a third approach, which is different than everything we've been suggesting up until now. And that, I think, is based on a very careful reading of Rashi. So if you go back to the Rashi in question, this is again Rashi Dir Masul Fakeach Alav Esagal. I think it's a very important diuk. It's really an important letter, which I think many people have been glossing over. If you go back to Lefakeach Esagal, halfway down, when it talks about our case of Ein Lo Damim, of in Baal Iskei Nefashos. Anyone? I'll go for it, David.
Lefakeach Esagal.
You just skip three lines down about in Baal is Kinefashos, that's our case. Well, we'll say Chasira for the moment. Okay. So again, so I think, contrary to what you might expect, you know, if I had to tell you before I started, you know, what's the big letter, you'd probably say it's, you know, the Stira or Chasira based on yesterday. But I don't mean that. I mean the letter of Mishas Chasira. Why is that significant? I think up until now, the Achronim who assumed that the Gavra Katila status was all focused on the earlier time period, they seem to be assuming what Rashi means is that Gavra Katila Bishas Chasira. Right? That they had the status of Gavra Katila at the time of the Chasira. But, according to those in the Parshim, it falls off. But if you look very carefully at Rashi, it doesn't say Bishas Chasira, which would imply, like them, that it was at that time and only at that time, but it's rather Mishas Chasira. And to me, I think the simplest way of understanding Mishas Chasira is that starting at that time, but that status continues. Meaning, the Gavra Katila status of the Baal Machteres began Mishas Chasira from the time of Chasira, but then it continues forward. And therefore, according to this reading, I'm going to explain why this is the case, what Rashi in essence is saying, basically, that the reason why right now the psak of Im Mefachim Alav HaZagal applies is because the Baal Machteres, even while he's under the Gal, still is defined as a Gavra Katila. So it's not something fancy that, oh, because somehow the Gavra Katila status at the beginning of Shas Chasira, you know, somehow affects the psak now when the Gavra Katila status falls away. No, again, that took... what Rabbi Sablovsky calls, you know, razzle dazzle alumnus to try to connect the Gavra Katila status at the beginning to the psak now. I think the pashas in Rashi is that the Gavra Katila status started Mishas Chasira, but then continues onward with the major chiddush, and really two chiddushim, but with the major chiddush, is that the status of Gavra Katila extends forward even though there's no longer Pikuach Nefesh. Right? That even though the Pikuach Nefesh was limited to the time, you know, before he was buried under the Gal, as we pointed out, the Pashas of Rashi is that there's no longer continued Pikuach Nefesh. But despite the fact that Pikuach Nefesh is no longer applicable, yet Rashi says that the status of Gavra Katila remains. That's a big chiddush we're going to have to explain. So in short, what's going on is that there are two assumptions in this answer. Number one is that because the Baal Machteres is still defined as a Gavra Katila currently, we're not Mechal Shabbos because of his Gavra Katila status, i.e. assumption number one being that we're not Mechal Shabbos on the basis of a Gavra Katila. Who says that explicitly? Which Makor did I have you guys see? Remember? Which Makor says explicitly that we're not Mechal Shabbos on behalf of the Gavra Katila? The Bir Alacha. As I had you see the Bir Alacha, right? Who basically said this explicitly, the Bir Alacha spells out explicitly that we are not Mechal, right? Even though there's generally a klal of, you know, in Mechal Shabbos for Chai Yishah, even for a moment, even to save a person for, you know, a temporary period of time, still when it comes to Gavra Katila, there's no heter of being Mechal Shabbos. So again, assumption number one of this Shan Rashi is that the reason why we're not Mechal Shabbos is because of his current Gavra Katila status. Again, assumption number one is that we're not Mechal Shabbos in order to save a Gavra Katila. So a basis or one makor for that assumption is this Bir Alacha, again, presumably on the basis of Rishonim, that we're not Mechal Shabbos for a Gavra Katila. Assumption number one. Assumption number two, which is even more difficult, is that the Gavra Katila status continues even though there's no longer Pikuach Nefesh. Right? It's a very big chiddush to separate between the factor of Pikuach Nefesh and the status of Gavra Katila. Because the Pashtos, what's the goreim of the Gavra Katila status? The Pikuach Nefesh. So the chiddush of this Pshan Rashi, we'll bring a makor in just a moment, is that you can separate the status of Gavra Katila from the factor of Pikuach Nefesh. Just a second. So where do you see this idea? So this is found in a Brisker Rav. Again, I didn't have you see it yet. We'll do it. It's more directly related to the Sugya of Rodef. So we're going to see it then. But this is the Brisker Rav in Hilchos Rotzeach, in the context of Rodef, where the Brisker Rav discusses Bal Matneres. And again, as a whole long mahalach, again, he says this really within the Rambam. We're extending this to Rashi. But in short, the Brisker Rav ends up developing Kedarko. There's two distinct dinim. Right, there's a factor of Pikuach Nefesh, which can be isolated from the din, what he calls of Gavra Katila / Ein Lo Damim. And he points out a number of rayas that the status of Gavra Katila / the pasuk of Ein Lo Damim applies in situations where Pikuach Nefesh does not. And one example which we'll get to is this factor of Nitan Latzila Be'echa Me'evarim. Even when the situation is such where you can save the nirdaf by shooting one of the limbs, nitan la'atzilo be'echa me'evar, if you can save the nirdaf by destroying one of the limbs of the rodef, so in such a case, it's basically understood there's no longer pikuach nefesh, again, because the nirdaf's life is no longer, requires the death of the rodef. So in such a case, even though there is no Pikuach Nefesh, yet the Brisker Rav proves, based on the Rambam, that there's still a din of Ein Lo Damim, and therefore if someone would kill the Baal Machteres in such a case, even when L'chatzchila, he should be, Matzel Be'echa Me'evar, if he went ahead and yet he killed the Rodev, the Baal Machteres, still there would be no Chiyav Misa on behalf of the killer, because the Brisker Rav develops, because even though there's no factor Pikuach Nefesh, the Rodef, the Baal Machteres, still has the status of a Gavra Katila of Ein Lo Damim. So again, this Brisker Rav, which we'll see inside a couple sugyos, again, is a makor for this idea that even though there is no longer a factor of Pikuach Nefesh, the din of Gavra Katila / Ein Lo Damim can still apply. So in short, the pshat, in my mind, I think the most meduyuk pshat in Rashi, that the reason why Rashi thinks that the din of Ein Mefachim Alavas Agal applies even when he's under the rubble and even when there's no longer Pikuach Nefesh is because Rashi thinks that the Baal Machteres' status as the Gavra Katila, the Psak of Ein Lo Damim, extends even past the time of Pikuach Nefesh. And again, two assumptions. Number one, you're not Mechal Shabbos for Gavra Katila. And assumption number two is that the Gavra Katila status is retained despite the lack of Pikuach Nefesh. Yeah. Yeah, you could say that. Yeah. Again, I think within that, I think all you needed to say was Bishas. Because again, according to that, all you needed is the fact that, Meikara, there was a Gavra Katila status. So in my mind, the fact that Rashi, again, it's not, I think implies that, it starts then, but continues on. It sounds like you're saying something much more Pasha, that he's just currently a Gavra Katila. And it's Pasha why you're not Mechal Shabbos, because he's currently a Gavra Katila.
What was Gavra Katila's status?
So we'll get to that when we deal with the Brisker Rav more inside, and have certain parameters of when that applies. But for now, we'll just leave it at the fact that that's a makor that you see that it can be separated. Again, we have to figure out in what situations does that independent factor Ein Lo Damim Gavra Katila's status. So, hold up. Good question. We'll hold up for now. Likewise, yeah. That's your question. Yeah.
Why would you say that he still has a bit of a little bit?
Yeah. So that's what. Oh, so why it is that the Brisker Rav is? I guess that's the question of why and what. But the Brisker Rav has a number of rayas for this idea that the two distinct dinim. One of the rayas is like the fact that the Rambam formulates has like two different formulations by Baal Machteres. One is that there's like a rishus to kill on the basis of pikuach nefesh. And then he has another line that if you kill, you're putter because of anal damin. So at first glance, it seems like superb. Like, why do you need two different things? So the Brisker of Darko says, oh, because he's highlighting two different dinim. And the Brisker of also is going to bring a number of rios explaining what the basis of these two dinim. So we'll get back to that question. But it's a good question. But for now, we'll just leave it the fact that, again, I think Rashi would be another raya for this. The Rashi, again, at least according to my read, is basically saying that even though Bapashas is no longer Pikuach Nefesh, yet he implies that the Gavra Katila status, you know, continues on. Okay, fine. Good? Okay, fine. So Adkan was a little longer discussion about Mefachim Alav Esagal. For the Havnei Maskana. So now, for the rest of this year, we're going to discuss two other, again, Havnei Maskanas on the Gemara and Ayin Beis and Beis, which again are going to shed light on the nature of the Chiyav Misa for the Baal Machteres. So yeah, so for the big picture, the first issue we saw was the issue of Misa B'Shabbos. Issue number two was the question of Ein Mefachim L'Vasagal or Mefachim L'Vasagal. The third issue we're about to deal with is the Misa al Yidei Shar Anashim. Having made a maskana about whether the Din Misa is limited to the Baal HaBayis, or can bystanders also kill the Baal Machteres. So let's read this Shach Vatari inside, because it is a very important one. So starting two wide lines down, Tana Rabbana, Shlomo, would you mind? And actually, it's the start, last day. Anyway, please. Actually, we don't want to give incentives to leave. Tan Rabbanan, yeah.
Tan Rabbanan, v'huka b'chol adam. So the pasuk says v'huka, and we're dorish that means anybody can kill him.
Right, any bystander.
Yeah, v'meis b'chol misa shat yahovah miso.
So we'll deal with that next.
Okay, so bishlama v'huka b'chol adam. So I can understand the first rasha that v'huka applies to any bystander. Itzrich salkadai tachamina. Bal habayis hu tekim le de ein adam mamin atzma al memono aval afer lo kamash malan de rodefu v'afilu afer nami.
Period. We'll stop now. Okay. Stop there for now.
So
Explain.
Okay, so I could understand the first drasha that Bahuka extends this din to everybody, because I would have originally thought that it would only apply to the bal habayis, because he's the one that's. He's the one that's going to stand up for his property, but not anybody else. Kamash Malan, that since he's a rodef, really everybody has the right to go after him.
Yeah. This is one of those, Havin Maskanas, where the Maskana is much more clear than the Havin, right? The Maskana is very simple. He's a rodef. The Pashas is, most Rishonim are going to say. He's a threat to the life of the Baal HaBayis, and therefore we know that a rodef allows anybody to kill, right? The din misa for a rodef is not limited to near duff. Any bystander, we'll see in Gemara, samal dam rehafa. No, there's a chiyuv in the case of general rodef, which is incumbent upon all bystanders. So the big question here is, what is the basis of the havamina? Why do the havamina think that without a drasha, that you would limit the din misa specifically to the baal bayis? That's the big question. Again, a lot of Rishonim don't really help you here. Rashi just, to me, confuses. As, So the question is, what exactly is the basis of this Havamina? So I always thought that the simplest way of reading the Havamina was just by translating the words. Right? Like everyone's mocked in their trap by saying that, but I really think that in this case, if you read carefully, what's the Havamina say? Itzrev, Solkataitacha mina bal habayis hu dekim le de ein odem mamin asma mamono. What does that literally translate? Bal habayis is the, what's kimle? What does kimle mean? He is, in this case,
he's sure.
Alright, dekim le, what?
It's an established form.
Exactly, yeah, it works. It's clear to the Baal HaBayis that what? Then ein odem mamin atzmo al mamono. Meaning what? Only the Baal HaBayis knows whether the Baal HaBayis will stand up for his money. Meaning, what have we been pointing out the entire sequence? What was the main difference? Okay, good. What's the main reason? What was the main difference between Rodef and Ba'machteres? Why was it, according to Norm Pshat, why is it that Ba'machteres is Rishus while Rodef was a Chiyuv for someone to kill?
Because Ba'machteres might have been scared on the fascists.
Why?
Because he could just step aside.
Because the Ba'al Bayis can step aside. So perhaps the Havamina is saying, so why is it that in the Havamina we thought that the Misa is limited to Ba'al Bayis? Because only the Ba'al Bayis knows, right? Only the Ba'al Bayis knows whether the Ba'al Bayis is going to stand up for his money.
So what?
So therefore, from the... What?
Still going to live regardless.
No, but perhaps in the Hamamina, we don't know the Chazaka. A bystander... Okay, this is a drasha based on the bystander.
Or you just know the Chazaka.
One second. What?
You say we know the Chazaka, we don't know whether it will apply in this case.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But Chazaka... The Chazaka means it applies every case. That's the same thing. In essence, basically in the Hamamina, we don't yet know, meaning the Chazaka, a bystander who's watching this case in a play out. Ba'machteres is coming in and he sees the Ba'al Bayis. So from the perspective of the bystander, for all he knows, maybe the Ba'al Bayis is going to give in. And in such a case, there is no need to kill the Ba'machteres. Only the Ba'al Bayis himself knows that he is not going to give up his money, and therefore in the Havamina, only the Ba'al Bayis has a reshus to kill the Ba'machteres. We read it, to me this is a simple read. Salka Taitach Amina, Ba'al Bayis hu dekimle de'in adamam in atzmal mamono. Only the Ba'al Bayis knows that the Ba'al Bayis is going to stand up for his money. Well, achir lo, but anybody else doesn't know whether or not the Ba'al Bayis is going to stand up for his money. So therefore, from their perspective, there's no even heter to kill the Ba'machteres, because from their vantage point, for all they know, so I'm getting a lot of facial reactions
here. I'm so lost.
Yeah.
I was like,
do you understand what I'm saying?
I'm not so sure.
Okay. So in short, and then we'll read it in a second.
Yeah.
In short, the reason why in the Havamina the heter of killing the Ba'machteres is limited to the Ba'al Bayis, because at this stage, only the Ba'al Bayis is sure that the Ba'al Bayis himself is going to be Ma'amid al-Mamona. From the perspective of a bystander, for all they know, the Ba'al Bayis is going to give in.
Even the
Chazaka. Kamash Malan, I think the Chazaka. According to this Pshat, the Maskam, again, to address Yitzi's question one second. The Chazaka, you can't ask that the Chazaka is an Amlalav, because this is the Brisa, right? This is the Brisa, and this is an Amor. So I think the Pshat in the Maskana is the Kamash Malan de Rodefu, Kamash Malan, that we have a Chazaka which establishes that even from the perspective of a bystander, because of that Chazaka, the bystander himself knows that this is going to result in Nefashos, and therefore, because of that Chazaka, now even a bystander knows that this is going to lead to Dina Nefashos, and therefore, he has a Rishos to kill. Go around the room. Yeah. Well, it could be that the pasuk establishes the chazak.
What or threshold?
Threshold. It is a chazak. For sure, at the end of the day, the basis of the din.
So,
is a chazaka.
The Havamina is that without the pasuk, we wouldn't have a chazaka. That implies that chazaka is just not for the
tzias. Again,
what does that mean?
As Yudah just said, a lot of times you have a question of threshold, like what type of chazaka meets the standard of vadai in order to kill someone. Like for example, there are two stages in Gemara and Yuma about whether it's chazaka applies. Is the case of Ba'machtera is safek or vana. So just like there, you can have two stages. About is it a suffix or a vadai? Havamina maskana gemara yuma pehe. I'm saying it could be gufa. The kamash milan is establishing that it's a vadai. Again, it could be a threshold question of whether the chazaka passes the threshold for it to be a sufficient vadai to kill.
Isn't that from the
mitzias? Or whether the mitzias is sufficiently vadai. You can always play. We know the chazaka creates 75%. Is that 75% standard? know, suffice in order to kill someone on that basis. That's what you'd always say,
yeah. Yeah. Even if you didn't know the chazaka, even if the Baal Bais himself was sure he would stand up, can you kill the other guy? Because the other guy didn't know the Baal Bais would stand up, and he's not a rodent.
What's
that? Well, the Baal Bais, if there's no chazaka in the Halamina, you can't kill Baal Bais. Because the Baal Bais himself was not planning on killing you, because he didn't know you were going to stand up.
Let's think about that. That's an interesting question. Let's think about that.
Now, I mean the worthy cop, the hookah.
No, 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 sorry. No, because Baal Bais name, the whole thing is neither. Sorry. I'll get back to you. The whole point is neither on Hashem Sofer, right? Yeah. It's about expectations, anticipating. Right. So once the Baal Bais knows that he's being Amid Al Mamona, so now he knows I'm going to stand up to my money, and the response of the Ganav is going to be that he's going to fight back.
That's only according to one of the chakras that accept, though.
But it doesn't matter.
Baal Bais starts it, then that would apply. But according to Chaka, the Baal Bais starts it.
No, but either way, because once he stands up to it, then the Ganav is going to respond.
The Ganav wasn't prepared to fight the Baal Bais.
That's not necessarily true.
Rashi says it's Kimle.
What?
Rashi says it's Kimle.
Kimle. Am I
done?
Yeah, this is not Shan Rashi. This is not Shan Rashi. That might be it.
In
Rashi, I mean, according to my shot, the whole Kimle is in the Das of the Baal Bais. You're saying the Ganav also knows that? Yes, we could say that. It's like, not mutually exclusive. You're saying the focus of the Gemara is Baal Bais, not Fuki Shar B'Neyam. We could say that. Yeah. I was saying I have a difficult time understanding Rashi. This is not Rashi. This to me, when I read the Gemara, this is the way I read it. And yeah, you see, I interrupted you.
I would mean the same word of Ruka teaches the Chazaka.
The what?
The word of Ruka.
Oh yeah.
Is teaching us that the Chazaka, that there is this Chazaka.
Or that we rely on that Chazaka. That's what's discussing Yitzi. So it's either that it establishes the Chazaka. Or, in more lumpish terms, that it established that chazaka could be relied upon to kill the Baal Bais, to kill the Ganav. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think you say that the chayr is two dinim. There's a din of Abal Argo, Chashkin Abal Argo.
Yeah.
And there's another din of a rogue.
Okay.
Right? The chayr is two different dinim. Abal Argo, Chashkin Abal Argo is a din in the person. Abal Argo, you should be makbid the last Gemara.
Okay.
So, in Abad Aleph, the Gemara said that the chazaka, that someone stands in the ground, whatever, and the Gemara, the Torah is machadish, Abal Argo, Chashkin Abal Argo. So maybe the chad is that the Gemara and Abad mean here, that the only chiv in Bal Machteres is the chad of a chiv of Abal Argo, Chashkin Abal Argo. It's a din in you. You need to save your life by that you kill someone. It's not a din in the him, it's a din in you. So,
I like the construct, I just don't understand. I mean, the Pashtas in Balahari Chashkim or Go is basis is Pikuach Nefesh, right? The problem is that what's the having that Pikuach Nefesh would be limited? And once Machayev, right, in Balahari Chashkim or Go is Pikuach Nefesh, really, what's the having to limit Pikuach Nefesh to the Nirdaf? That's hard, it's hard to justify.
I hear, but it's not. So that's going to make that's the question of the Gemara. It's very similar what the Gemara is saying.
If
the Torah is mechadish, Abal Argo Chashkin Largo. If Abal Argo, there's no din of Abal Argo. That's where it is. Rav saying that din Abal Argo Chashkin Largo lechor it's a din of pikuach nefesh, right? So what's the Gemara saying that there's a chiddush that the Torah is mechadish that Abal Argo Chashkin Largo? Typically, it's not a real din. You have to say that there's a new din of Abal Argo Chashkin Largo. I don't know what's that dar exactly.
Well. I think
the Gemara brings it in a few places. There are Abal Argo.
Yeah, well, I think because the connotation of Abal Argo is also like a Nidon Hashem Sofa idea. That even though in Abal Argo he's only in the beginning of the process, still Hashkein Lahargo, you know, like one up. Exactly. But again, so I think the Chiddush is to extend Pikuach Nefesh. So again, the base is Pikuach Nefesh. The Chiddush in Abal Argo is the Nidon Hashem Sofa is to like preempt it. But so the chiddush is the bringing that factor at an earlier state, but it's very different than like limiting it to the Baal Bais versus other people. I hear what you're saying, but that's the way I was thinking about it. Fine. So that was my reading of the Gemara, and then the Anyway, the Aruch Laner has an alternative reading of the Gemara, which, again, a very mechudash read. Anyone get to see the Aruch Laner? Anyone remember? I'll say it and it'll remind. Yeah, so Aruch Laner, again, is also trying to understand what's the basis of this Havmina to limit the Din Misa to Baal Bayis. So Aruch Laner, in order to explain this Havmina, goes back to the Ran. Remember the Ran, again, and the Rimigash, but more famously, the Ran is the one who said that of the two, right, between the Baal Machteres and the Baal Bayis, who is the one who, you know, pulled his gun first? The Baal Bayis. Right? The Chiddush of the Ran is that the Baal Bayis is the one who, you know, pulls his gun first. So what was the big kasha that the Ran implicitly asks, and the Rimigash explicitly asks, is that if the Baal Bayis is the one who pulls his gun, so then why do we grant the Shem Rodef to the Ganav? Right, that was the kasha.
To the Ganav.
What?
He's asked why don't we grant the Shem Rodef to the
Ganav. Why do? Right, in short, if the Baal Bayis is the one who pulls his gun first, so then why do we grant the Shem Rodev to the Baal Machteres, to the Ganav, to allow us to kill the Ganav? What do you mean? The Baal Bayis is the one who escalates the case to Nefashos first. Oh, so again, so the Ran ends up saying, oh, this is the Chiddush, one of the major Chiddushim of Baal Machteres, is that because the Ganav starts the process, which ultimately leads to Nefashos. Again, since he's the one who starts the entire process, so we grant the Shem Rodev to the Ganav. So Aruch Laner says that based on that Ran, that the Chiddush of Baal Machteres, that we grant the Shem Rodev to the Ganav and not to the Baal Bayis, says perhaps he invokes the factor of Embo El Chidusha. Since the context of the Psukim of Baal Machteres is dealing with the Baal Bayis who kills the Ganav, so says the Aruch Laner, maybe Embo El Chidusha. Maybe there's a limited Shem Rodef in the Havamina. Perhaps there's the Torah was only Mechadish that the Ganav has a Shem Rodef Legabe the Baal Bayis. Meaning, Aruch Laner, one more time, because, Aruch Laner says, because according to the Ran and the Rimigash, the whole notion of granting a Shem Rodef to the Ganav, to the Baal Machteres, is a Chiddush, because Misvara, since the Baal Bayis is the one who took out his gun first, you would think that maybe he should get the Shem Rodef. So again, since the whole notion of granting a Shem Rodev to the Baal Machteres, the Chiddush, he says, Ebo al Chiddusho, the Havamina thinks, that maybe limits the Shem Rodev, limit that Chiddush of granting a Shem Rodev to the Baal Bayis, to the Ganav, specifically from the perspective of the Baal Bayis. That's the context of the Psukim, and Ebo al Chiddusho. Adkan Divrei Aruch Laner. And therefore, says Aruch Laner, the Chiddush of the Maskana is that, no, the Shem Rodev of the Baal Bayis, of the Baal Machteres, of the Ganav, is for everybody. That Shem Rodev of the Ganav is not limited to, from the perspective of the Baal Bayis, it applies to everybody. Adkan Divrei Aruch Laner. Everyone just get the facts before I ask the question? Okay, and everyone understand what I'm saying? Again, because according to the Ran, it's a big chiddush to apply Shem Rodev to the Ganav, so therefore, Imbo Chidusho, it's limited to the case of the Baal Bayis. So says the Aruch Laner. I'm just going to ask the question, then we'll take any questions. So the big question of the Aruch Laner is that there has to be a svara behind limiting the Shem Rodev to Baal Bayis in order to say Imbo Chidusho. Because generally, right, in stark contrast to Imbo al-Chidusho, you have the klal of binyanav, right? Generally, the methodology of psukim is that when the Torah says something, there's no reason to be mechalik, minastam, we extend a din. So therefore, there, in order to explain the Orach LeNer, there must be some basis of distinction between having a Shem Rodev vis-a-vis the Balabayas and having a Shem Rodev vis-a-vis Shar Bnei Adam. Again, because if there's no Svara to be Mechalik, so then instead of saying Ein Bo Ela Chidusho, why would you say Ein Bo Ela Chidusho? Just say Binyanav. Once the Torah, in the context of the Balabayas, grants a Shem Rodev to the Ganav. Are you sure you okay over there? Right? Again, the din of Binyanav would dictate that once the Torah, in the context of the Balabayas, grants a Shem Rodev to the Bo Machteres, so that Shem Rodev should apply vis-a-vis Shar Bnei Adam also, unless there's a Svara to be Mechalik. So in short, in order for the Aruch Linares Pshat to hold water, you need to introduce a Svara to explain why it makes sense for the Havamidam specifically to limit the Shem Rodev vis-a-vis the Balabayas, and to say that, but there is no Shem Rodev vis-a-vis Shar Bnei Adam. That's a question we have to address. Binyanav is just a klal that when the Torah introduces a din, min hastam we extend it to other cases, unless there's a reason to be mechal. What? Exactly. So again, just because the Aruch Liner says that the case in the pasuk is a case of a balabayas, but once the Torah grants a shem rodev, in that case vis-a-vis the balabayas, there's no reason to be mechal between the balabayas and Shar Bnei Adam. And there's no reason to explain the Havmina saying Ein Bo Ela Chidusho, limit the Shem Rodev to vis-a-vis the Balabayas.
You need a Svara to give the Binyanav.
You need a Svara to explain why it would be limited.
You mean why the Binyanav got shy?
Exactly. Everyone understand the question? You know what we're trying to suggest, or why we're trying to suggest something? Okay. So perhaps the following will be a potential justification for why it makes sense for a Havamina to conceive of a Shem Rodev, which is limited to the Balabayas, which doesn't apply to Shar Bnei Adam. As follows. Again, all within the worldview of the Aruch Liner that we're working within the Shita of the Ran. So again, according to the Ran, again, that basically both the Ganav and the Balabayas have basically are considered like, you know, rotvin. Performed the Maisa Radifa of sorts. Again, the Balabayas pulled out his gun first. He's the one who escalated. That's one form of Maisa Radifas. And the Balmachteres has his form of Maisa Radifas, the fact that he started the whole process. So one could suggest that from the perspective of an outsider, specifically, there's no reason to grant a Shem Rodev to the Ganav over the Balabayas, because from the perspective of an outsider, it's a wash. My chazis. Ein dochen nefesh mibnei nefesh. Why would I choose one over the other? Because both of them, from the perspective of an outsider, performed the Maaseh Radifus. The Balabayas performed the Maaseh Radifus of escalating the case by pulling out his gun. But the same token, the Balmachteres, you know, performed the Maaseh Radifus by beginning a process which he knew would escalate. So from the perspective of an outsider, one could say, there's no reason to grant a Shem Rodev to the Balabayas to the Ganav over the Balabayas. From the perspective of an outsider, it's a wash. Equal nefesh. If you can, kill one over the other. And it's only from the perspective of a Balabayas in the Havmina, because the din, from the perspective of the Balabayas, as we discussed in the past, according to the Ran, the Chiddush din of Balmachteres is that even though the Balabayas has some propensity, you know, as like, you know, the nature, his Yetzirah is to pull the gun, the Torah grants him Rishus to do that. The Torah is not Mechayev him to overcome his Yetzirah. It's one shot. And we're leaving out with the upper verse for now. So, right? So according to the simple pshat, that meaning even though according to the Ran the Balabayas is the one who escalates, still that's his Yetzirah, that's his initial reaction, so we allow him to do that. So the din of Balmachteres mitzad the Balabayas is that we're going to grant a Shem Rodev specifically to the ganav, in essence, to allow the balabayas to kill the balmachteris instead of overcoming his yitzhahara, pulling his gun. So, in short, we're trying to offer a basis of his hazina. In short, from the perspective of an outsider, both the ganav and the balabayas are both performing a ma'aser redifus, and therefore there's no reason to grant a shame rodif to one over the other. And therefore, in the hazina, from the perspective of shar b'nei adam, there is no din rodif for the balmachteris from the perspective of shar b'nei adam. We only grant a shame rodif to the balmachteris from the perspective of the balabayas, because that stems from this din that because of chazak ina the mamad azma mamono, we grant a reshus to the balabayas to allow him to follow his, you know, his yitzhahara, to pull his gun. And we say, you don't have to hold yourself back from defending your money and you know, pulling out your gun. We allow you, we give you a reshus to kill the balabai, to kill the balmachteris. In short, the shame rodev of the balmachteris is limited to the, from the perspective of the balabayas, but doesn't apply to shar b'nei adam. And again, this would be an explanation of the hamina. And then the maskana, according to this whole mahalak, is that we basically established that the fact that the ma'aser redifus of the two of them are not equal, the ma'aser redifus of the balmachteris who starts the entire process, that outweighs the ma'aser redifus of the balabayas, and therefore, even from the perspective of shar b'nei adam, we grant the objective shem rodif to the balmachteris.
So, we say that in general by working. We say that if there's one person chasing after another, and another person then chases after that rodif, then a fourth person who comes to there is able to kill either of the rodif.
Again, that's very different. This is all within the Ran. I mean, it's all within the Ran, which says that the... No, but yeah, that's a different case. And there's always in the Ran who says that the ganav, on his own, wouldn't be chasing after the balabayas to kill him if not for the fact that the balabayas pulled the gun. That's specifically within this. Your case of rodev, is that the case where the rodev is being rodev achar hanirdaf lahorga?
No,
I'm
saying we have a rodev achar rodev.
Not in this case.
Of them.
But that's not the case here.
Why not? They're both rodev.
I'm saying, but that's a chiddush. It's a chiddush to get. Meaning.
Why is not?
What? In short, they're both rodfim, but not in the classical sense of rodev achar rodev. It's a different construct. I wouldn't compare it to that. Yeah.
According to the halakha, I would say that. From the bystander's perspective, that we say they both are equal in their ma'aser redifus. If the bala bias has a right to kill him, it's not that right to kill him. So I would say,
so yeah, if
the bala bias has a right to kill him, the ganav does not.
That's the chiddush. This is going back to like the chiddush around kasha. Kasha that he asks on him, once he sets up the pshat, he says, wait a second, according to my conception of how this is going down, really, there should be no heter to kill, there should be no heter to the balabayas to kill the balmachteris, because the balabayas is the real div. So we're within that stage.
Did we say in the Havanina though that the balabayas has reshus to kill? So then if he has reshus to kill, why would the ma'aser redifus be equal?
Because he's equally responsible for the. I mean, that's all I'm saying. It's like, take the academy here. You have to look at it split screen. That was really like to say that. You're looking at it from two different vantage points. From the perspective of other people, from their perspective, yeah, no one should have a heter to kill it. They're both equally, one could say, equally responsible. From their standpoint, they're not looking about, you know, whether there's a heter for the balabayas. From their standpoint, they're just saying, meaning, in nevesh docham in nevesh. That's a general klal, which basically means that you can't, my chassis, you can't choose a life. The only exception to that is that when the actions of one person deem his nevesh inferior to the other. But in this case, according to the suggestion, both of their actions are equally, you know, reprehensible. the other
is allowed to do it.
But that's not, again, that's only from his perspective.
He's objectively allowed to do what he did.
What?
He's objectively allowed to do what he did.
But again, that's only like post facto as a heter giving it to his Yetzer Hara.
This is like Ishus HaSahara, like you're not supposed to do this, but
that's, yeah. Yeah, possibly. We discussed this in the previous show. Yeah.
Like the Ishus HaSahara comparison might just be the Pashtus in that Havmina, right? That Havmina, the Pavais with the Kimlon, the Kimloi, they don't know the Math and Ramono. I don't know, it would work better if it was Kimlon. But, I mean, Havmina, that it's a special head there to allow the Balabais to follow the Yitzhar because he can't help himself, whatever. So, obviously, that should only apply to the Balabais.
That's basically, in essence, what this is saying. We're basically saying, like,
that,
what? Yeah. No, I'm saying, but you still have to explain why doesn't that carry over?
It's not even him moved it. It's just like, we know he can't help himself, so they don't kill him.
What? Yeah, I mean, that should end up resulting in a... Meaning, that's just an allowance to allow him to stand his ground. Once he stands his ground, so then Hashem Rodev presumably is conferred upon the Palmachteres. That's just the result. This is more the question of why do we let it to get to that point? We just, like, you know, stop it in his tracks by, you know, making, you know, tell him to stand down. Answer is, no, well, Dibitar Elkanah Yitzhara. But then that creates its own momentum, so now the... Well,
that might be the commercial.
Okay. Yeah.
Can you say that a way to be a colleague between with all bias and all the other people is that maybe say the Chalka and Ezra and the apostle, but in the dwelling of his own for the all bias, like in one dwelling, the all bias is a dwelling in his hands, and his hands, not outsiders?
But you still have to explain what, meaning that could be a basis, you know, that's like a textual basis. You still have to explain why that would be the case. Right? You're not just saying, like, oh, you've seen the Pasuk, it's a chiluk. That's sort of like what the Aruch Lener is saying. Like, basically, like, you know, in Bo'ol HaChidusha, the Pasuk is talking about the Baal HaBayis. I think the Aruch Lener is assuming, like, that shot. Aruch Lener is assuming that the Pasuk is talking about the Baal HaBayis. So, limit it to that. So we're just asking, but, like, unless there's a basis of distinction, we don't just, like, limit things. Right? But you're 100% right. That's what the Aruch Lener is based on. Fine. Okay, so now to the final... So basically, in short, the basis of the Havamina to limit the Shem Rodev to the perspective of the Baal HaBayis is basically because from the perspective of outsiders, both the Baal HaBayis and the Baal Machteres are both performing a Maaser Yifus. Because they're both performing, instigating in some fashion, so that basically makes their Nefashos equal. So from the perspective of an outsider, we're not going to allow, you know, we don't allow them to take a side by, you know, specifically killing the Baal Machteres. It's only for the Baal Machteres himself where we have a special heter, like, well, Dibbator, like, in the Yitzhahara, where we say, you know, we allow him, you know, instead of having to overcome his Yitzhahara, we allow him to
you're
kill.
The far is a nefesh.
That's part of it, yeah. It's the reason why, from the perspective of outsiders, fine. Okay, so now the final Shachar Torah we're going to deal with, we'll do this really quickly, is the issue of the Chol Misa Sha'ata Yachol HaMisa. I'm not going to read this so much inside. But basically, in short, you know, as Aaron read, basically the drasha of Umeis, right? The Chol Misa Sha'ata Yachol HaMisa. Again, the Gemara just gets a little technical discussion about maybe we know this from elsewhere. Kamash Malam we don't. Kushnek Sivam Ke'echad. But in short, there's an implicit Havamina that there would be a specific Misa for the Baal Machteres. So what would that Misa be? Exactly. So the Havamina is that you specifically should, you know, implement the Misa of Saif. Kamash Mulan, that it's really any Misa, Shati Yachala Misa. Oh. So the Havamina, for sure, which limits the Misa to Saif, seems to give off an important implication regarding the nature of this Misa. Right? By focusing on a specific one of the four Misa's Bezin, it seems to imply, and the Afika Yam, which we'll deal with in the Sugya of Rodev, develops this at length, that the implication of this Havamina is that the nature of the Chiyav Misa for Baal Machteres is not just Midin Hatzalas Abirdaf, it's not just based on the factor Pikuach Nefesh, it's perhaps triggered by that, but it takes the form of a Mises Beis Din. Right? That the Chiyuv Misa of a Baal Machteres and a Rodev, for that matter, isn't just, okay, let's save the Nirdav and do whatever you can to save the Nirdav, because if that was the case, you should be able to do anything. The fact in the Havamina specifically takes the form of Sayev. The strong implication is that the Misa of a Baal Machteres is a Mises Beis Din, and therefore we pick the most relevant of the four Mises Beis Din, i.e. Sayev. So again, very important implication of this Havamina. The Havamina to limit the Misa to Sayev, one of the Arba Mises Beis Din, has a strong implication that the nature of the Misa of Baal Machteres is that it takes the form of Mises Beis Din, parallel to the Havamina by Shabbos. Right, the Havamina not to put the Baal Machteres to death on Shabbos, the Gemara explicitly invokes Midi Da'ava on Mises Beis Din. So again, in both these Havaminas, a strong implication that the nature of the Misa of Baal Machteres is Midin Mises Beis Din, which have these potential Nafkamina. And the question is, the Maskana, where we say Bechol Misa She'ata Yochol Misa, the question is, and you have to ask this question by many Maskanas, is how much does the Maskana overturn, how much does it reject the Havamina? I.e., in other words, is there any remnant of the Havamina in the Maskana? So you're going to see, namely, is there any value, even the Maskana, of specifically putting the Baal Machteres to death through Sayev, which would be, you know, a remnant of the Havamina. So if you look at the Rambam's formulation, David, you have the Rambam?
Oh, yeah,
I do. So Rambam again, Hilchos Geneva, Perek Tes, Halacha Zayin. When he formulates the din about Machteres, I'll just stall for you, it's very clear that when he just quotes the Maskana, pretty clearly, without making any reference to Sayev whatsoever. Tes. Zion. Time out. Alicia, this is for you. That Rambam, that was the Rambam of the Piskaraz Medayek. It just happens to be. We'll get back to this. But first he says, Ein lo damim, and if someone kills him, you're putter. And then he repeats, Rishus l'chol l'horgo. Anyway, stop 1 second. So, the dig of the Biskara, which I'll get back to later, is like, that's super, meaning, that's a little repetitive. Meaning, you're putter if you kill him, and then Rishus to kill him. So he basically points out, there seem to be two different dinim justifying this dinim. So, okay, that's not for now. And he says, b'chol. Right. So all he says is that b'chol misa shichol la misa. Just paskins the maskana straight up. Any misa that you wanna kill him with, there's no reference to there being a lechatzchila a value to sayev. So again, the Rambam seems to understand that the maskana completely overturns the havmina, and then there is no lechatzchila value the maskana of using sayev. And again, this would work out very nicely if the lumdus of killing the Baal Machteres is purely a factor of Atzelus and Yirdav. If it's purely the Pikuach Nefesh of the Baal Bayis, so then all you need to do is just save the Nirdav. Anything that it takes, anything that will accomplish the goal of being Matzel the Nirdav, that's what you do. There are no other values to accomplish. And that's why, within such a perspective, that the whole basis, the whole nature, the whole gedder of Mises Baal Machteres is all about Hatzalas HaNirdaf, and there's no reference at all to Mises Beis Din, so then you understand why there's no value in doing one Misa over the other. It doesn't matter. As long as you're killing the Baal Machteres, as long as you're saving the Nirdaf, all is good. But in stark contrast to the Rambam, who's the Rishon who seems to formulate there being a lechatzchila value, even the maskana of using Sayev? The Chiddush HaRan. Anyone have the Ran? Is the Ran in Ayin Beis Ibn Aleph on the Mishnah? Is the first piece? Anyone have a quickly Yair?
Yeah,
Ayin Beis Ibn Aleph. Spread the wealth a little bit. Doing a great job, Doug. Yeah, and Alpha Gav.
Alpha
right? So he explicitly states that even the maskana, again, he's just talking bottom line, that lichatchila you should use sayef, and he's basically implicitly saying the maskana, which says b'chol mita sh'ata yochol amiso, that's if you can't do sayef, so then you can use any misa that you want. So again, that same Afikayam points out that while according to many Rishonim, this Havamina of Mises Bezin falls off the Maskana, but according to the Chiddush Aran is saying that at least on a L'chatzchila value, it's best to try to be Mekayim, try to carry out this Misa in a manner which is also be Mekayim, the din of Mises Bezin, coming to say that there is a that l'chatchila at least, this misa of the Bal Machperes should conform to the dinim of misas beis, and therefore l'chatchila we should use sayef. The last issue, which we're not going to discuss now, we're going to hold off to Rodef, is the issue of Hasra, which again is at the end of Ayin Beis and Beis, which is the crossover between Rodef and Bal Machperes, and the question of whether Hasra is required for Bal Machperes and Rodef, again, is going to have strong implications, you can imagine, about whether the misa is related to a Misa's Bezin, or it's just a Tzalas and Yerdaf. Again, as you can imagine, if you require Hasra, that points in the direction of being a form of Misa's Bezin. If it's just about a Tzalas and Yerdaf, then you wouldn't need Hasra. So we're going to hold off for that now. What was it? Now, this is about my therapy. That's what we discussed earlier. Oh, what? Okay, he never says that. Okay, the Pasha's reason for Rishus is because of Al Bayis can step down. Okay, we're still stuck with that. But again, because Rambam never says, he would have to say a chiyah, the sayyid, elsewhere in order to not tell. Okay, so we'll stop here for...